Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Can you believe it? It's episode number 68. It's been going for nearly 3 years, and I just really want to thank the listeners for your consistency, for being there. It's so nice to know that there is somebody else at the other end of the microphone and finding value, and I love the feedback. I really appreciate it. Please keep that coming, and remember to give a five-star feedback if you love each episode, which is terrific. Look, with me today, I've got a really good friend of mine. We've been friends for a very long time, and I've been nagging her about coming on the podcast because she's got so much good information to share. And her name's Isabel Gordon. Now, Isabel graduated with honours degree in exercise physiology from the University of Sussex in the UK, and that was in 1989. She funded her study by working as a medic for the British Army Reserves at the time, and that was when the terrorist organisation, the IRA, were a constant threat. Now, during her time as a rep in athletics for Great Britain, Isabel experienced elation of the high-level competition, but she then had the pain and frustration of missing out on furthering her sporting career due to repetitive illness and surgery. So years of debilitating back pain led her to explore massage and then traditional Chinese medicine. Now, Isabel graduated from the Australian College of Natural Medicine with an advanced diploma in acupuncture in 2002. So she's been doing this for quite a while now, and during that journey, she was introduced to yoga. She has been fortunate enough to have many wonderful teachers from many different backgrounds, and including yogi nuns. So I'm going to ask her about that. That's really interesting. And Isabel is currently studying Iyengar yoga. Now, that's about a thorough alignment-based system that incorporates props to allow everyone to benefit from classical poses. So while she continues to work with a few elite athletes, she has a special interest in pain and stress management. She is most excited by the dedication of the students and says that people have come to classes on crutches pre- and post-op and with major burns. It's really exciting when you see somebody growing from that, I can imagine. Isabel has two mottos: as long as you are breathing, you can practice yoga. And it is not the asana, but the awareness that counts, both on and off the mat. So as you can hear, there's so many questions to ask in there and such a great range of interest. So welcome, Isabel. Thanks for finally getting on here and joining me.
Janine, I had to give up some time at the beach.
Well, that's another thing. Isabel lives at Cabarita Beach, which is in northern New South Wales, and it's just a beautiful spot. So, yes, it's I do understand, but that's fine. You're here with me today, finally, because you've got so much great information to be able to share, and I just want to ensure that my listeners get the opportunity to hear it and learn about, you know, Chinese medicine practices and yoga and how that affects them. So, welcome again.
Thank you, Janine.
Now, I know we've been friends for a while, and I'm just wondering what sort of different, you know, what's your belief within health and wellness and medicine and looking for alternative sort of practices?
I really believe that we have an innate ability to heal, that each person has inner knowledge, their body is programmed to be healthy and vibrant. Just like when you step out, I know, Janine, you've got a beautiful vegetable garden. And yes, there's a certain amount of care that we have to put in, certain amount of preparation, but then you'll see that it will blossom and bloom in the right environment. So I suppose I really feel that each person has that blossom in them, you know, as many people will talk about that, that joy and that sense of happiness is our divine right. And it's just allowing ourselves to listen to the little whispers that will take us to follow that and to listen to our heart and put ourselves in that environment.
Mm. Yes. There's a lot in that, so I'm just going to move on. And I know we're going to cover components of that as well, so I'm thinking about where I was going with that. But, look, in your introduction, I said, you know, there's such a range of things. There was working, doing a study as an exercise physiologist, but also working with the British Army Reservists. Now, that would have been quite an interesting component of it. But I know that that the reps with the athletics and you had ambitions to, you know, go on and represent the country as well. But so how all of that put together, the purpose behind what you do, is that all of that background sort of bring purpose now, you know, obviously?
I suppose I've been what you call inverted commas a searcher. You know, I was a little girl in a middle of England growing up in the drizzle and the rain, and I wanted connection to God, divine. I wanted to help and to heal. I saw a lot of difficulties. You know, I was born with a cleft palate, which meant I couldn't feed and, you know, had a lot of personal issues. But then the first year that I was born, the man who had been, I suppose, my surrogate father, because my father had not, I don't know. Anyway, don't know about my biological father very much, but was my uncle. And his life got taken on the first Christmas Eve that I was born. So whether it was that, there was a lot of trauma around Christmas. So I do find it's a challenging time for everyone, but particularly it's a time where I have to seek out some good friends who will maybe assist me get through those things. And I thought there's got to be some way to help us with our human suffering. So at that time, you know, living in England, I was being brought up by a mother who was a nurse. And so she would regularly take me up to sit in the very old dilapidated building, which was the local doctor's surgery. And there were no appointments. You just went and sat and coughed and breathed in the coughs of the other people, and whoever got there first got seen first, and then the door would creak open and maybe they would get back out and you know the next person would go in. So again, you know, I was exposed to that, and I was exposed to Catholicism, and I was looking for ways to heal my heart, which was broken from, you know, really before I was born, I suppose, and heal other people.
That's part. I mean, that's what I start with. A lot of people, when I speak to them, that have had in that journey of themselves, and even your memory is very vivid. You know, I can imagine because it's that as a child, but there's obviously components of it there that's really quite vivid in your memory still. And it plays an important factor into, you know, what you're doing and how you're helping others now.
I'm going to pause there, Janine. So, yes, as therapists, as body workers and yoga teachers, we consider that the muscles have memory. So, you know, you may have heard your issues are in your tissues. So when we perceive something to be not useful, not good, hurtful, then that goes into our tissues. And then unless we work on that, it can stay there for years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that then leads to a dis-ease.
Absolutely.
Through the body.
Absolutely.
Then, whether it's stress
Some
or physical
kind of,
or
yeah,
emotional.
Physical or mental, emotional.
Yeah, that's, I've never heard that before. I've never heard you say that before. That's really interesting. Your issues are in your tissues.
That's why you wanted to interview me.
We've had conversations. Yeah. I know. I that's the beautiful thing about interviews. You find out things that didn't know for the last 20 years. Mm, so it's really interesting. So you were a sickly child, and then
I was. You know, if the doctors were getting rich off people going to them, I was one of those. But yeah, it would be a regular Friday trip. It felt like to me, and I could not even put a number on the amount of antibiotics I was on, and lumbar punctures and surgery and. Yeah. So it wasn't a fun ride.
No, not at all. But obviously you were talented enough then to, you know, become an athlete as well. So somewhere along the line there you must have gone, oh, I can run.
Well, Janine, I enjoyed sports, and my dad is passionate about watching athletics, and I figured out, so in England you play ball sports, you know, in those days it was netball and hockey for the girls. Netball was played in the winter, where somebody would throw you a ball. I'd either clumsily miss it, or if I did catch it, I thought my hands would shatter because they were frozen. So it was not a very joy-filled experience. Running meant you actually got to keep warm, and in those days the houses were not always that warm, you know, sometimes ice on the inside of the window. So, and I figured if I'd call it pathetic at running, you know, ran out of breath quite quickly, but with running, or with a lot of things, if you put effort in, you do get some reward. And the great thing is there's not very much coordination in running. So
I think a lot of people would disagree. I have seen some very uncoordinated runners, Isabel.
Okay. I just figured one step after another. And also I have to say, Janine, you talk about ill health. For me, very much the mental ill health was, helped a lot by getting out there and running around the block, just trying to work off any stress.
So what did you run? You did longer distances.
I did middle. It's called middle distance. Mm-hmm. So it's 8 and 1500, same as Zola Bud, if anybody knows of the South African barefoot runner. So I did run in the same races as her a couple of times. Snow and the ice. The cross country was the longer distance that we would run. So I did, we all remember because they're still around, Avon. We would have a New Year's Day cross country, actually, and all finishers would be given by Avon a little perfume in a special sort of little, what do you call those, vials, you know. So
mm-hmm. It was worth getting
covered in mud and ice and
New Year's Day.
On New Year's Day as, you know, an 11, 12, 13-year-old to get these. And I think my mum still has all of those.
They'd be nice and stale by now. But
I'm not sure I appealed to me at the time anyway.
That sort of draws, similarities to, looking at thinking about when you're in business by yourself too. Sometimes you've just got to go, it is rainy and muddy. It's not those extremes, but there's just times when you don't want to be doing something, but you have to step out and do it, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's starting with the end in mind, saying, look, this is where I want to be. You know, I really, really wanted to represent my country and make my family and my village proud. And it seemed insurmountable. It seemed like an impossible dream. And then I would just say, right, let's just drag myself out of the bed, out of that relatively warm bed into, and it's so funny. You know, here I'll see people and they'll say, oh, I can't get on the bike. I can't do whatever because it's raining. Wow.
we're wusses in Australia. Well, we are on the northern part of Australia anyway, in the Queensland, where northern New South Wales, where you are.
Yes.
But I did notice when I'm in Victoria that it can be raining and windy and horrible and there's runners out there.
Yeah.
I think they just have to go, well, it's like that most days. We'll just go run.
That's it. And the same, like you said, bringing it to business, it's incredible. I believe that there's such a close resemblance to what you have to go through as a sports person or a yoga teacher. Anybody who's dedicating themselves to working with their body, wow, yeah, you go through certainly occasionally some wonderful moments, like you and I saw last year as volunteers at the Commonwealth Games. We saw some incredible moments, but you go through some tears and some blows that you didn't know were going to come.
And I mean, it's like that with lots of things you do. So tell me a little bit about exactly all of your different things that you do and your business, and just so that we've got a little bit of information about that as well.
Yeah, so I run a very small part-time home-based business in the beautiful northern part of New South Wales, just close to the shores of Cabarita Beach. And I was initially going to set up actually sitting outside, and then I realized that a family of moorhens have decided to come and spend their time right at the top of my garden, not the bottom where there's the water. So, I do that very much as it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle for me, and it has been. Janine's known me the whole time I've been a single parent of two children. So what I do on a daily basis is quite a variety of things. So I can be working as an exercise physiologist. So we work with people who've got chronic or complex conditions. So somebody who maybe is struggling with weight, somebody who has had a stroke or a heart attack, and then getting to that, those guys who've worked, and men and women who have been in the forces, so Department of Veteran Affairs. And for those, I'm covered under Medicare and DVA. So that's one part. Then I also will see people for some acupuncture, and that can be, it's a whole complete alternative medical system. So again, people can come in with having a crook neck, a very acute sort of problem, or they may come in, I've got a client at the moment I'm seeing for post-work after he's had colon cancer. So, you know, he's got a whole new system on the inside where they've cut out pieces of his colon and he went through that whole cancer journey. And then people for mental health conditions, whether it's mild anxiety to quite deep depression. And then the overlap, the third thing is yoga therapy. So I teach group classes, very much like to weave in that sense of belonging and community into that class, and gaining the trust with those students of their own body. So some of them will come to me all wrapped up with tape from another therapist saying, I can't lift my arms, or I can't bend, or whatever's going on. And then, you know, gradually over the course of a few weeks, they'll start to really get a better relationship with their body. So it's, you know, a beautiful honor to do these things.
And look, that's the important part I find when I come across, because, you know, both of us speak on that work-life balance thing, yours from a different angle than I do, but it connects very well together. And we'll mention it later, that we are running a retreat soon.
Yeah.
It's with the combination of the business stuff and also the body-mind and body and mind connection as well. And to get that balance in your life, because you can identify people that are in stress, can't you? And then how either yoga or meditation or some sort of practice that enables the body time to sit and repair, or the mind to sit and repair as well, because that's so important when you're trying to get some form of balance in your life, that it's not just frantic all the time.
Absolutely, Janine. It's so funny. The other day I was actually going through some old Reader's Digest thinking I'll take them over to the nursing home, clear them out. And then I came across a little article. It wasn't a yoga article, but it was on sleep. And immediately my eyes went to certain things that were talking about postures very similar to what we do in our restorative yoga to assist you to get that deep sleep. So what I look at is, okay, so, you know, I see a lot of business women. They come in and they're wanting to achieve a certain health. It's your tool is your body, your, you know, absolutely like your laptop. We were just talking about microphones and laptops before we went on air. You want to make sure it's kept up to date, everything's working, there's no bugs, you know, the same with your car. But often people will push down and neglect their body until it becomes so loud that it brings them to me almost as a last resort.
Mm. Yeah. And that, whether it's the universe or the body or whatever it is, it gets to a stage where it sort of gives you a little bit of a nudge, doesn't it? Thinking, you need to do something about this. So you might have some sort of minor, you might catch a cold.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Something minor happen. And then you ignore it and keep pushing through it. And then you'll get some sort of other illness that'll flatten you for a couple of weeks, or that cough just won't go away, or there's something else happening. And then it creates, you know, a great deal of disease in your body, doesn't it? Because you've just kept going without recognizing that you need to respect what you've got. You've only got one.
Absolutely. It just saddens me so much when I see somebody who has got, like you said, that inability to listen to those little or big whispers, and then they're struggling in, you know, in their business life or in their home life. Because when you do have good health, wow, it opens you up to the ability to be able to not only do well with your business, but do so well that you can share that with others. You know, you can really share it as an offering, as a gift.
That's right. And when you're well, you can do that. Interesting, I was with some people on the weekend, and my grandies had a little bit of a cough and cold and that. But then they coughed over this person, and they went, oh, no, now I'm going to get that cold.
That's an interesting mindset.
and they will. They'll definitely get the cold. Yeah. Whereas I was coughed on a dozen times and I had no expectation that I was going to catch a cold.
Fascinating, Janine. They actually, I mean, in the old days where they used to do things to people in the army and test things, theories like that out, they actually introduce the cold or the flu virus up noses of soldiers, and not all of them got unwell, you know. So and you would think, okay, same disease, same illness that they're putting up their nose. I have to find that piece of research. You know, they've done some fascinating. They don't do these things so much these days.
Well, that's good to know.
But yeah, definitely, it's number one. It's you know, a physiological thing. If your immune system, if your gut is not well and strong, and if your mind has that mindset, then of course. But if we are well, if we're healthy physically and mentally, we'll go, oh, okay, that's a cough. Maybe I need to move away, or maybe I need to, you know, have an extra piece of broccoli or something, or take a quieter night. But yeah, we can realize that we don't need to suffer. No.
No, absolutely. Look, and I know it hasn't, you know, we talked about your childhood, but I know before you got into the Chinese medicine stuff, we were both teaching aerobics at the time, so we're both sort of, you know, we've always been involved in, you know, keeping healthy and doing well. But you had some really difficult times which affected your body, doesn't it? It's very much what we're talking about now.
Yeah. Look, trying to balance my home life was very challenging. I mean, I was you know, to put it bluntly, I was just plain sick on all levels, I think. You know, I had that, what do you call it, existentialism where, you know, when I, as a child, I was looking for God in the churches and wasn't really, I'll be honest now, I can see this now, I wasn't really able to listen properly because I had so such a busy mind. So that's one aspect. The other thing was that I did get very sick. I didn't listen properly and I did become very sick, you know, several illnesses, including Ross River fever and that and then it comes with a whole barrage. I didn't realize you don't just get one. You get then generally glandular fever, anemia, because the body is trying to deal with this huge thing. So it really floored me. You know, I would attempt to walk to the letterbox. I'm not saying the postbox, the letterbox at the front of my, this is going from being a runner and personal trainer. And I just would have to talk myself into it. You know, I can go. I was really exhausted and weak. My body was an absolute mess. So, and yeah, my mind as well.
And that's when you went and found yoga, really, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I was really fortunate. My eldest daughter, being the beautiful girl that she was in those days, had endeared herself to a friend, and she said, look, why don't you go off and take a weekend off? So I had been practicing some yoga, but then I went along for a weekend retreat, and it was absolutely life-changing. The food was incredibly nourishing. Somebody else cooking for you is always wonderful, but you know, yoga food is very nourishing. And then the people were just so kind. So the practice I'd been doing with my first teacher had actually been, unbeknownst to me, quite stressful to my nervous system. You know, he was trying to get me to do poses that were like back bends and extreme things that my weakened body just
look. I've done bits of yoga on and off for years now. There is no way I would ever be able to do it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So something called a tick tack
or something. Headstand.
It was. You go into a handstand and then you drop over to a back bend. You come up to your handstand and then you drop back to down face dog and you do, I don't know, 100 of those or something.
Look, I used to do that when I was, you know, 12-year-old and used to run around the yard doing cartwheel after cartwheel and did gymnastics, but it's not a practical
or appropriate
thing,
now. And for me, I'd never done that as a child, so it wasn't an appropriate practice. And what it actually does is it really fractures the nervous system. It really, you know, upsets the nervous system. So it's just like in business. If we say, hey, look, you know, for example, Janine's doing really well and I'm doing a similar business and, right, I'm going to get in there and do the same as she's doing. And, you know, you try to step up to a really high level very quickly without doing any foundation, suddenly you'll find that just disconnects you, you know, disconnects you from who you are, and your clients are going, hey, this doesn't feel authentic, and your family's saying, "Where? What's happening? I thought this business was meant to bring you home earlier," and so on. So yes, in the practice that I did when I went on that lovely retreat was to really know, this is where my body is, and you know, start to realize that you need to be patient. You need to be really, really aware of the tools that you're working with. So then I was working with a broken mind and body. I needed to do more restorative things to build that capacity. Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people get that disconnect, isn't it? And I know that's one of the components that we're working on with the retreat is how you can reconnect to you. And just find that, I suppose, you know, just some steps to rediscover the passion or that inner strength, the thing that lights your spark, I suppose. That's one of the things, isn't it, that in life it's just so important to have that.
Yeah. What is your purpose? Why? You know, if you don't know what your why is, if you don't know, like people will say to me, oh, that must be a lot of hard work. The other aspect to my life is that I'm fascinated by community. And so currently I was saying to Janine before we started this that, hang on a minute, I've just got Airbnb people arriving and I've got a therapist who's seeing another client. And so, you know, you've got to start with your why. And one of my whys is, can we spread that joy of health, that joy of joy and happiness? How can we do that? Okay, we've got to really know ourselves, really know what makes us tick.
Yes. And that's the thing is, you know, people, and it's the same with you. I know how much work you put in, but you do nick off to the beach a bit as well. But I know, you know, the other day I did from 5 a.m. until 10:30. I had some open programs. I had some recordings and different things that had to be finished. They couldn't be left half done, and hence why I did so late. I wouldn't normally do such a long day, but I do full days every day. But then I don't, you know.
It's I'll a 90 days holiday.
It's only 75 days. It's not that long. But the it's I don't care. It's not exhausting. It's not me thinking that I should do something. It's just that I love doing it. And it's, as you said, it's that end game. And what you're leading to with those 90 days holidays, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on one of the previous podcasts, but I am away from June 10 to 23rd of August, traveling to Western Europe. It does work out to about 10 weeks if you're counting 75 days. So that's what Isabel was alluding to then. So that's my purpose at the moment, is working, you know, getting everything pre-recorded and done so that it's seamless and it doesn't seem like for my clients that I'm away, everything's still going out to them and it's all organized. But again, because I know my why, I know why I love doing what I do, and it's very high on my value system. But that's where people have that disconnect, isn't it? And they feel exhausted and because they just are not connected to what they're meant to be doing.
Absolutely, Janine. I think that brings us to one of the factors that people don't realize is, number one, we need to spend that time retreating to really understand who we are, to feel ourselves, to connect away from the, you know, the iPad and the iPhone or whatever those things are. And my question the other week was to the group was, which book had Steve Jobs read every single year, which was the only book on his iPad? And the answer was The Autobiography of a Yogi.
Yeah, I saw that you put that. I didn't see you put that up. I cheated. I Googled it.
Oh, you're naughty.
I know. I needed to know straight away.
I know you well enough.
But that's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that's that his connection as well. It's his way to revitalize himself, I would
think. And that's the thing. You know, I spent 5 months last year, and then I've just come back after 2 weeks in the wilderness this year as well, you know, 5 months off with my eldest daughter, connecting to community, connecting to each other, and just observing how different people work in Buddhist monasteries and various. So it was sort of a busman's holiday, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, once we find out who we really are, we start to destroy delusion. We start to accept. We start to be able to accept ourselves. And it's from there that we can then know our capacity for work, and then we can build that capacity.
Oh, I like that knowing your capacity. Yeah. And because not everyone has the same capacity to keep doing.
Look,
you know, if look, and I'm not sort of, you know, floating my own boat here, but I have a very high capacity to put a lot of time and effort and very productive and efficient at what I do. And again, because I've done it lots of times, I can do it quickly and I can get a lot done. But I know other people, if they attempted to do a fraction of it, would be exhausted. And it's just knowing that, isn't it? It's knowing that, okay, I've done enough now. Thank you. I'll go to the
beach.
Yeah,
absolutely. Look, Janine, one of the methods I've started to use recently, which I love, I don't know if somebody else has thought of this, but is, you know, we have our to-do list. So I have my daily tasks that I don't need to write down. I know those daily tasks. But then I have the to-do list. And then I came up with my playlist. So, of course, that does involve going to the beach or jumping on my trampoline or, you know, going and spending time with my other therapist. Just give me one second. Yeah. He's just come in. and doing some play things. So what I started to do was pop down my chores list, the absolute to-do things, and then on another side of that page was to put down the play stuff. So there would be a reward, non-food reward.
I like that though, a playlist.
Yeah, a playlist. And you get to play when you've done, you know, an appropriate amount of things.
No, that's excellent. And I've got an online program and I don't have it as a workbook, but I have it as a playbook.
Yeah.
Because it's different. It just switches the response to it. If you think it's a workbook, it's like, oh, that's tedious. Whereas it's a playbook.
I'm playing at being cleaner today. What do you think? In preparation for my lovely guests.
Yeah,
I was going to say that's the other thing is that in the Iyengar system, he really started to work with Yehudi Menuhin, and then Yehudi introduced him to all his Western friends, and Iyengar, instead of shaking his head and going, oh my gosh, these people can't even sit cross-legged and they can't, you know, he went, oh, how do I get their bodies to be supported in these postures and achieve the classical postures without being in any distress, because we don't want to be in distress. So that's when he started to use props. And that's the same for us. If we are in business and we're wanting to achieve something, then ask for help. You know, ask Janine for help with communication. Go and seek some mentors. Don't just struggle alone.
Yeah, and that's a great analogy with that prop, isn't it? Really interesting, because I was doing some yoga at the gym for a while, which is a different sort of class again, and nobody had props with them, but I need props. I can't reach the ground and my arms are too short. I figured it out. My arms are too short. And so I can't – so I need props, and I'm using props, and I see all these people struggling, but it made sense to me not to be embarrassed to take them, but to actually take them.
It's called intelligence.
So that's something as well. Well, yeah, but a lot of people, again, won't ask for help with, you know, stuff they're doing in their business or in their lives because, oh, well, how does that look? As opposed to, you know what, this makes sense and this is what I'm going to do. I think that's a big lesson with that analogy we're using.
Yeah, and I think sometimes as well in our home-based business or our small businesses or in our yoga practice, we actually forget the primary reason that we're there. So for yoga, if you look back at Patanjali, the sage to whom all yoga can be tracked back to, then he actually talked very little about yoga postures. He actually talked about Chitti Nirodhi, I can't remember it now, pretty, but anyway, it's stilling the fluctuation of the mind. So he talked about that. Now, if you are struggling and heaving and huffing and your eyebrows are furrowed and your blood pressure is going up in order to gain a, for example, forward bend or, you know, some kind of a posture in yoga, then actually it's not yoga. certainly there has to be some effort. Certainly the effort is, though, of directing your mind in an attentive way through and knowing your body and going, ah, I can't put my hands in a forward bend flat on the floor, but hey, what about if I bend forward and put my hands to the wall? Will that give me the light and the length through my nervous system and counteract something I've been doing through the day and enable me to have a greater capacity to continue to sit in front of the computer?
Mm. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense with that. Now, I know, there's a few takeaway points. I told you the time would go fast. It does. It goes extremely fast. So, and I know you've got some takeaway points, and we've touched on a little bit about the retreat because we're both really excited about this retreat, isn't it? Because it's that combination of learning all the business skills and communication skills and being confident and then being able to apply it. But that's then getting this balance that you're talking about, listening to the body. So do you want to tell us from your side, you know, from what you'll be doing on the retreat and the different things that you'll be delivering?
So I'm there to help you to nurture yourself and to really help you to bring out the joy, you know, that joy that is innately ours. It's something that I really want to impart to you is a way that you can manage your mind and your body when you get back home. So it's not just that you come on retreat and go, gosh, I've got to save up till I take another few days off next year. I've got to hang in there. No, it's that you come on retreat with us and that you experience different styles of meditation or mind harmonizing practices. So for some people, it could be something that goes down very well with people is maybe the chocolate meditation.
I'm looking forward to that one.
and other people, it might be the deep practice of yoga nidra, which is actually practiced by the armed forces now. So they did take on some of the yoga practices to help people with post-traumatic stress disorder or help prevent that. So, yeah, that's a few other things that I'll be doing there.
Yeah, that's important. The point you made about taking it back into the real world, and this is why we've titled it, you know, the ultimate breakthrough retreat to revolutionize your business and harmonize your life. And there's purpose. That's exactly what it means, that you can take it away. I don't think that I've ever seen a retreat where it has both of those balances before. We've been talking about this for years, haven't we? Because there's been nothing around that does both of that, because you can learn stuff through business, but most people don't go away and apply it because it's not embedded and it just becomes another stress to them. But we're teaching them how to
deal with that. I think the whole fact is that thousands of yogis, thousands of years ago, would experience incredible, you know, if you want to call these powers of their mind and their body. And what we're doing here is we are then enabling the people who come with us on retreat to access those and then be able to work with them in their business. So, for example, both of us, we've talked about our long trips that we go away. You know, it's about what we often do when we get together and go for a walk and a talk is we will also set some kind of visual goal. So we'll talk about potentially what we're going to be doing in 2020 or, you know, whenever it is. And then we'll get really clear of what's our why? What's it going to feel like? Oh, great. There'll be some fantastic food in Italy or, you know, wherever we're going. And so that we really take it on at a cellular level. So that's my aim is that through deep relaxation practices and meditation and the yoga practice that we can open our bodies up to be able to take on at a cellular level what we wish to achieve, what we're capable of achieving in our business.
And that's why we're both so excited about what we're doing. And because it's only limited to 18 people too, so it means we can really work in depth with different people too. So just looking at what we've covered, you know, we've covered so much, but there's so much more to talk about too. So just a particular takeaway points, Isabel, that you want to make sure that someone listening is, if you give them some tips now, that they'll go, right, I can do that. Apart from checking out the retreat as well.
Well, number one is it's actually a very essential practice to go on an annual retreat. So, you know, it doesn't matter which teacher I've had over the years, all of those teachers will talk about at least one annual retreat. You know, it's a vital experience to enable you to fully tap into yourself without distraction. So that time to fully embrace the wisdom of the ancient healing techniques, or to allow that everyday busyness to drop away. So if you look around, there's many top executives and celebrities that have said that yoga has had a hand in their success or going on retreats, you know. But like you said, there are not that many that will really weave in. And for, you know, the one thing is you've got to know both of us, we are very particular people. We want the environment to be absolutely supportive, the food to be incredibly nourishing. We're actually meeting tomorrow. I'm going to go and sample some of the food and just check it's up to my standard. and then, of course, that group dynamics, we both love weaving that in. So definitely number one is go on an annual retreat, at least one annual retreat.
We haven't said where this one
okay,
is.
Oh, okay. So
Isabel.
Mountains, we love mountains. And we were looking at a mountain that was very accessible because that's what we wanted. So Tambourine Mountain is
Southeast Queensland.
So it is absolutely beautiful all times of the year. And yeah, we'll be meeting up the mountain tomorrow.
On Cedar Creek, it's in a rainforest. Yeah. It's just beautiful. And another point.
Okay, so I'm
going to
this one is we call it a sangha or a community. So a conscious community is vital. So what Janine has created here with the We Are Women podcasts means that it doesn't matter where in the world we are, it doesn't matter what our day is like, you know, you can flick on one of those podcasts and you are part of a team. You know, just write a little note saying hello on Janine's Facebook page and knowing that when you've got questions, you know, it's really great to write on there and surrounding yourself with your tribe.
No, that's a good point. It is. And it is a community. It's continually growing, and I'm very excited that it does grow like that.
Mm. Surrounding yourself, you've got a couple of points here. Listening to positive words. So people who have gone through something that you've gone through, people that have gone through completely different experiences. So positive uplifting. So we actually have in our brain mirror neurons. So whatever we watch, whatever we listen to, our brain starts to feel that those are reality. It can't always discern. You know, you look at the five-year-old who's come out of the movies, you know, the shoot 'em up, kick 'em up, kung fu kind of thing, and he's coming out, you know, doing those same actions. So it's the same thing. If we are listening to something positive, enthusiastic people, then we come out feeling good, you know.
And that's something that, yes, I like to reinforce all the time, is just do exactly that. Just turn off the news and listen to the good stuff and read the good stuff. Now, how can people work with you? And I know that you've got looking for people to, apart from we're looking for people to go on the retreat.
Oh, I don't think we're going to have to look very hard. I think, Janine, the retreat is, it's just a really – it's the ultimate thing. You know, we've got that great combination there. And like I said, if there is, actually, I don't think I've said it today, is that if there's anybody out there who needs continuing practitioner development points, you know, that I'm covered for those sorts of things, also covered under health funds for individual. So
that's good.
I am looking at putting some online programs on. That might be a little slow because, I get so many people working with me one-on-one anyway. But I am looking at I've just got a 7 spots available for women over 40 who would like to enhance their health by embarking on a 2-week mini mindful detox. So this specialized program can be completed anywhere in Australia and will include personal sessions, so they can be done over the phone, and as well as some group sessions. So if you feel like you would be interested in that, you'd like to enhance your health, then send me a message or book in via the phone number 0412-636-950 or on my email address, isabel.healthmatters@gmail.com.
And your website is Cabarita,
that's
beachyoga.com as well. So people can find you for there. So that's for 7 women over 40 who'd like to enhance their health. And it's a 2-week mindful detox. That sounds really interesting. And I know that a lot of listeners are fit into that range. So, and again, just repeating Isabel's contact details in case you didn't get them the first time. Her phone number is 0412-636-950. And it's isabel.healthmatters@gmail.com. And if you are, and you can, if you want to find out more about the retreat, you can also check in with Isabel on that Gmail address as well, or you can contact me, which is info@speechperfect.com.au, and I can send you some information off about that, because we're taking bookings now. It's in October, and but we're definitely taking bookings now, and it is the first 18, well, 7, I've 2 booked in already, 16 that we can take. So that's been great. Look, Isabel, I really, really appreciate you being on. Anything that you want to add finally before
we finish
up? We
need a part 2, Janine.
We do. I know. There was so many things in your notes, and I'm thinking, oh, I haven't covered.
I was going to talk a little bit about some yoga philosophy. So I'm just going to add one piece out of yoga philosophy, and that is about what Patanjali wrote many, many years ago, is that there are 9 distractions and obstacles. So I'm going to talk about one very quickly that I see happens a lot in business people, and that is samsaya, or indecision or doubt. So when our practice,
what was
or
that indecision
doubt d-o-u-b-t
right okay yeah
yeah when, okay. when our practice becomes difficult or inconvenient, it is easy to start to question the benefits we are getting from it. So, you know, it's the same in our business. We can go, oh, why should I bother? You know, it's just all too difficult. It's all too overwhelming. But to realize, going back to what you talked about to do with time, what if it's all our time? What if, you know, scrubbing the floor before your client arrives? What if, you know, dealing with that tricky printer problem? What if, you know, what if we think of it as all a gift, each and every moment we have? And then rather than doubting if we should even bother to do something, that we put our full focus. So that brings it to a mindful practice. So there we are doing the difficult thing, not even sure if there's any point in it, and then suddenly having a mind change and going, I'm going to stay right with this difficult thing. I'm just going to stay with this until it's completely done to the best of my ability today.
Yes, and that's a whole discussion on that as well, because there's lots of things that we don't want to be doing sometimes, but how can we think differently about it? And then how can we apply ourselves to it to be mindful in that moment rather than disconnecting from it and feeling that it's not what we want to do. Look, I've really enjoyed it. I'm so glad we finally got you on here, Isabel. It's been chasing, but we're good. It's happened. And it was just a great conversation and so much in there. And, you know, it's, as you said, there's more components of that. And there's
just
definitely
come on retreat
another one
us.
Down the track.
Come on retreat.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait for the people to be involved and join us.
I'm visualizing an evening after a day of joy-filled learning and sharing. Yes. Absolutely. That's my image.
Totally agree. Look, that's wonderful. And thank you for that, Isabel Gordon. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Please remember to leave a 5-star review. It's wonderful when you do. It's really supportive. And any comments that you'd like to add, anything that you want to share as well, or that you've got out of listening to us today, it will be very, very, we'll be thankful for it. So please do. And join me next time for the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm Janine Vosper, your host, and bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.